All right. Let me ask you a question before I do these studies. First of all, I forgive you. I couldn't make the question as today, and I will give it to you next week. Okay. Let me ask you a question. What is idolatry? I know I have heard different opinions. What is idolatry? What is really idolatry? Idolatry is covetousness, yes. Yes. Yeah, anything that goes before God, money or anything. Uh-huh. I think that's the usual answer that I have heard before. But let me give you the answer. Idolatry is departing from the living God. Idolatry is departing from the living God. That's the basic thing. On that, you get all the other things. Now, on the nature of the fallen man, when we say the nature of the fallen man, we are talking here when God created Adam. At the very beginning, Adam was holy. He was perfect. And God gave a commandment to Adam. And Adam broke the commandment. And God said, if you eat of this tree, you shall what? Surely die. When Adam died, he spiritually died. When he spiritually died, he departed from the presence of the Almighty God. That fellowship that Adam had was broken. Adam spiritually died. Now, all the race of Adam, everybody who came from Adam, that includes you and me and the whole human race, sin with Adam, we see this in Romans 5:12. Our Apostle Paul said, when Adam sinned, we sinned also. When Adam died, we died spiritually also. Alright? So we see that very clearly, that's the original sin. So when a child is born to this earth, that child is a sinner, because we all come from Adam. He's the fountainhead. So we are all fallen. Bible says the wages of sin is death. So what we deserve is what? Death. Eternal punishment. That is the fallen man. That's what we are studying, the nature of the fallen man. And we saw in the previous studies at the beginning, we saw the enmity between the fallen man and God. What is enmity means? Enmity means hatred, right? The Bible says God is angry with the sinners daily. There is hatred. They are not in friendly term. They are in unfriendly term. We saw the fallen man does not love God. We saw that very clearly, that we are God's enemies. And today we are going to see the fallen man's affections. If fallen man does not love God, we saw that last week, then whom does the fallen man love? Where does his affections go to? And we are going to see all his affections and his love is for idolatry. Before we begin this, we need to go to the beginning again to get a better understanding of our study. When God first created man, Adam was united to his Creator. The Creator God, Creator was his God, nothing else, absolutely nothing else. We know that Adam was perfectly holy. He was not like us. When we were born unholy. But Adam was created holy, perfectly holy, without any sin. He was perfect. Therefore, Adam was able to worship God in perfectness. We need to see Adam had only one object, and that is God. And he had only one principle, and that is to love God. The object was God, the principle was to love God. But what happened? When Adam sinned, he departed from the true living God. The union that he had with God was broken, and he lost the principle of love. loving God. And His love then from Adam's, all the generation from Adam, the love of man went to other gods. We see that when you read from the book of Genesis. Because man is spiritually dead. And Adam became obedient to the devil, right? He obeyed the devil. And now Satan became the god of this world. So we see, man went to other idols. This was the greatest apostasy of mankind, is departing from the true living God to idolatry. That's the greatest apostasy of mankind. Now, God commanded us to stay away from idolatry. We see this in the Old Testament. The first and the most important commandment is what? Thou shalt not have other gods before me. This is the first commandment. Where do you see that? In Exodus chapter 20. See, Exodus 20, verse 3 says here, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water, or under the earth. That covers everything, the entire universe. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hated me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see, if there are other gods, then you cannot love God. You cannot love God. Idolatry is rooted in man's heart, the fallen man's heart. And the fallen man's heart, his affections, his love has fallen, has departed to another. That is why it's called idolatry. It is spiritual adultery. We see throughout the Old Testament how they began to worship, idolatrous images and other just like the other nations, they worship images. Now we can see that image worship is prohibited by God. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 8. 2:8. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 8. Says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. That's not a positive, that's a negative from God. That's an abomination to the Lord. And also you can write it down in Leviticus chapter 26, 1. Says, You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. So here is very clear. You're not supposed to make any kind of image. It's in the Bible. That's what it says. Israelites in the Old Testament, they were surrounded by other nations, and Israelites were the minority. And the other nations, they worship images. They had other gods. And Israelites got tempted to other women. That means the different nations, their neighboring nations' women. And they married them. And also those women brought their gods to the nation of Israel. Then we see how Israelites, they followed the customs of the other nations, bowing down to idols and worshipping them, and we see God severely punish them. Now, you might say, I don't worship any idols. I don't worship any images. I don't do that. But we are going to see in the Bible that idolatry is really departing from God for anything. Idolatry can be in your heart. Idolatry can be in your heart. Many times, you know, so we need to see the broader scope of idolatry. And remember the children of Israel, as long as they stood within the boundaries, okay, they were okay. They obeyed the commandments. God protected them. God used them in a mighty way. But whenever they made alliances with the other nations, they committed adultery. So idolatry is really departing from the living God and departing from heavenly things to earthly things. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 14. We are going to read a very interesting portion of scripture here. So chapter 14. I want to read from verse 1 to 7 here. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of it of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord of God, every one of the house of Israel who set up his idol in his heart and put before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn from your idols, and return your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in the land, who separates himself from me and set up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. Verse 8, I will set my face against that man and make him a sign of power. Then I will cut him off from the midst of the people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I was meditating upon these scriptures and thinking about this, and it's a very interesting portion of scripture here. Remember Ezekiel? He prophesied during the beginning of the captivity. Means Daniel was alive when Ezekiel was prophesying how Babylonian Empire, because of the sins of Judah and Israel, alright, God allowed the king of Babylon to come and destroy King Judah and Judah. Israel was destroyed by Sumerians, you know that before. And now God, Assyria. And here God allowed the enemy to come and destroy Judah completely. And here Ezekiel is a prophet during the first time at the beginning of this captivity. The story here is that there were some elders of Israel came to Ezekiel. Why did they come? For consultation. They came for consultation to get a word from God. Probably when these elders came, at this time the whole nation is in wickedness. The priests and the elders, they are all corrupt. Probably Ezekiel was very touched when these elders came to him for consultation. Probably Ezekiel had pity for them, because it looked like they were really seeking God now, because they want what? Consultation. And they came to the prophet for an answer. And it looked like it was a very sure sign of repentance. But God Almighty, He sees the hearts of men. We can cover a robe of righteousness, our own righteousness, but God sees the heart of men. What they're thinking, what their motives are, and God saw that they did not have any sincerity in their heart. As they have openly violated the commandments of God, instead of getting an encouraging word from Ezekiel, they were severely rebuked by God. Just imagine, Ezekiel knew these people. Probably, you know, they know each other. Just imagine, one of our friends come, and today, to get some advice, on consultation, and they're living in sin. How are we going to address? Are we going to compromise with them? No, we cannot. We got to tell the truth. Nothing but the truth. And here, we see, God said they have set up idols in their hearts. It's not an image that everybody can see, but they have set up idols in their hearts. And we know by reading the whole book that this is really spiritual adultery. You can have anything. If you have like their idols, actually what they have set up in their hearts was wealth, money. His elders were rich. Money was their god. And of course there was superstition. Superstition was their god. And here we see that how God rebuked them. And they were living in a wealthy lifestyle. And God said, I will answer them according to the multitude of their gods. God said, you want an answer? Yes, I'm going to answer them according to the multitudes of your gods. I'm going to answer them. Well, I'll tell you, these elders of Israel, they look very religious and holy. But you know what God does? God extracts what is hidden in their heart. God can extract that. Whatever, even the little tiniest wickedness of sin that is hidden in your heart, God can extract that and display openly. You know why? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than what? Any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows what you're thinking. He knows your motives. He knows what is in the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are what? Naked and open unto the eyes of Him. With Him we have to do that, with Him that we have to give an account one day. So God sees these religious leaders. They are look holy, religious. God extracts their sins from their hearts. And in Ezekiel verse 5 says, they have estranged from me through their idols. It means they have alienated. The word here, let me write it here. E-S-T-R-A-N. Not type right. G-E-D. Okay. This word, it means they have alienated from the true living God. That's the meaning of that word. Alienation, separation from the true living God. That means what? Idolatry. Idolatry. You know what? Their own thinking deceived them. Huh? They thought they will come and get a good word from Ezekiel. In verse 6 it says, Ezekiel, God is telling them that they should what? Repent of their sins. They need to cast away their idols because they are an abomination to the Lord. But today we see the same thing happening, right? We are not different today. And we see the priests and the pastors, the ministers, they are all, most of the churches are corrupt. They have set up idols in their hearts. And we can see the wealth and the glory, and they are manifesting. And idolatry is rampant today. And of course, you know that we can buy, people buy images for money. You know, we can buy an image of Mary or any saint, and it has become a money-making profit. And we saw in the book of Acts chapter 19 how Paul condemned idolatry, how people, they lost their business. Nobody is buying this anymore. You can buy it through credit card today. You lose your business. So what do? They come against Paul and his followers. And we see the priests and the elders and the ministers, majority of the churches are corrupt today. And we know for God, Ezekiel chapter 14, here God sees them as hypocrites. God sees them as hypocrites. Now what is a hypocrite? Hypocrite acts like a Christian. Outward appearance of a Christian. He has all the outward form of Christianity. Can fool a lot of people. Can fool a lot of people. But cannot fool God. These elders thought that they can fool Ezekiel. But God was not fooled. Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament, we see during the time of Jesus, they had all the outward religious forms. They looked so holy. But what did Jesus call them? You hypocrites, brood of vipers. That's how Jesus called, because Jesus could see the motive and the inside of their hearts. Jesus rebuked them severely because they stumble so many people. And that's what we see in the book of Ezekiel, how these elders were a stumbling block to the people. And just because we see religious people who has an outward appearance of loving God, and we saw in last week's study in John chapter 5 verse 42, Jesus said, I know you, that you have no love for God in you. He told the Pharisees, the Jews, you have no love for God in you. These are the most religious leaders. You talk about religion, out of religion, the most religious people were the Jews, nothing else, nobody else. They were the most religious people. And Jesus said, you have no love for God in you. True love. And here we see, God says in Ezekiel, for every one of the house of Israel are a stranger, there is a Gentile who is being circumcised. Alright. And God is going to punish them if they have idols set up in their hearts. And how is God going to punish them? And it says here, verse 8, I will set my face against that man. Then he says, I will cut him off from the midst of my people. You know, they think they can pass away, these leaders, they think they can pass away with the other people, you know, as Christians or as religious people. I can just pass with the crowd. But God says, no. I'm going to cut them off in the midst of the people. Although you're passing away, you're in the middle of a crowd, a lot of people, God says, I'm going to cut you off in the midst of the people. I'm going to separate you. They think they can get away with the, in the midst of the people. But with God, no. You see, our God is an almighty God. He knows the he has numbered your hairs. He knows the sands of the seashore. So nothing can be fooled. And this should bring what? Fear to our hearts. Right? Fear and reverence and respect to His attributes. So in the same way, we see the fallen man is a hypocrite. Because he has religion outside, but inside is a dead man's bones, just like Jesus said. They are not truly following the word of God. The fallen man is not truly following the word of God, but they are following what? Traditions. That's all they are following. Traditions. Not the word of God. It's traditions. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Jesus answered to the Pharisees and the scribes and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written?" And Jesus is telling to the religious leaders, these people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And in vain they worship me, their teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Their teachings are not the word of God. The purgatory is not in the Bible. The rosary is not in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. They're just traditions. And then says, verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men. See that? So even so many Protestant Christians are holding to the traditions of God today, and to superstitious, and it's so sad that they are not getting into the word of God. Now, I'm going to show you that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve idolatry and at the same time God. We cannot. We cannot serve two masters at the same time. If we serve one, you cannot serve the other. But if he cleaves to one, he will necessarily hate the other. You cannot serve God Almighty. And also, you cannot serve money, or you cannot serve the saints, or you cannot serve anything else. You cannot serve materialism and God at the same time. You cannot serve the world and God at the same time. You cannot have two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24. I didn't. He will toll to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24. This is the very reason I'm going to show you. This is the very reason that the natural man hates God. You know why? There are two kingdoms. The kingdom of God on this side and the kingdom of Satan. Remember Genesis 3:15, if you have been following with us the studies in the evening. Remember that? There are two seeds that's going to come, two kingdoms that is going to come, right? And there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. There is nothing in the middle. The fallen man is in whose kingdom? The kingdom of Satan. The two kingdoms are not friendly. The two kingdoms are opposite to each other. God is light. Satan is darkness. So they are not in friendly terms. They are opposite to each other. You cannot be loyal to both kingdoms. You understand? You cannot be loyal to both kingdoms. As one kingdom opposes the other kingdom. So if one loves one kingdom, then he is an enemy of the other kingdom. Understand? If one loves one kingdom, he is an enemy of the other kingdom. The fallen man is in the kingdom of Satan, and he is an enemy of God's kingdom. So you cannot say, I can have a world, as you know, you can love the world, the materialism and the money and everything, and say, I am serving God. You cannot say that. You cannot be in two kingdoms. You have to be in one kingdom. Because if you love one kingdom, you oppose the other kingdom, because they are totally opposite to each other. All right. If you remember, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, we see the devil. Again, the devil taking him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him down and worship me. Now let me put it in a different way, alright, where we can understand. The devil does not come to you with an ugly face and a pitchfork. It doesn't come that way. The Bible says the devil comes as an angel of light. He uses men and women, because the devil is a spirit. So, but he uses an instrument like another person. Now, the devil took Jesus to an exceedingly high mountain and said, look at these kingdoms. They're all mine. Because we know the devil is the god of this world. I will give it to you if you bow down and worship me. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer. I will give it to you. How if somebody comes and tells you, I know you are suffering. I know you're going through a difficult time. You don't have much money. And you got a lot of bills to pay. You don't have a home on your own. And you have been driving that car for a long time. You need a new one. But I will give you $5 million. You understand? Yeah, I'll show it to you. Look. Look at these dollar bills. Touch it. That's the impression that the devil gave to Jesus. Now what if somebody comes and tells you that? What is going to be your decision? You see here? Our flesh is so tempting, huh? We are going to see that. This is where there is a kingdom of God and a kingdom of the enemy. They are opposed to each other. We cannot be in the middle. I believe the fallen man will go for it. Wow! The fallen man will say, I found life! I've got a new beginning! I found life! Let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. I'm going to paraphrase it. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, he said, whoever finds life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I tell you, it's not easy to become a Christian. Jesus said, there's a broad road where you can enter, and there's a narrow road. It's easy to enter the broad road, but the end will be destruction. But to enter through the narrow road, there's going to be a lot of suffering, agonizing, difficulties, trials. But there you will find life when you die. So death to the Christian is what? A profit. And here we see the devil showed all the glories. I'll give it to you. But what did Jesus do? He went back to the word of God and rebuked the devil. In Colossians chapter 3 is a very good scripture for us to meditate. Colossians 3 verse 2. How to win so much money? I am the one who is getting, or everybody is getting. All kinds of sweepstakes. You can win a cruise to here, there and everywhere. And all kinds of stuff you get. But you know, as Christians, we've got to be very careful. You know, don't be gullible and deceive yourself and so easy to fall into idolatry. Idolatry is departing from the living God. So if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says here, set your mind on things where? Above. Not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, your fallen nature, all right, which are on the earth, for fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Got to put these to death. Got to crucify them. But today we see the fallen man has a lot of lovers. Lord of lovers, he has set his heart, his affection, his love, his heart is not God. But if you ask anybody, do you love God? They will say, yes. But do you read the word of God? No. So, their affections are something else. Sports is, you know, they get so excited in sports. So they get so excited on a TV or a movie or some sexual, even on the television or a violent movie, they get so excited. But when it comes to the Word of God, there is no excitement. It's boring because that's a fallen man. And if some people, they love material things, you know, they love their children more than God, or their wife more than God, or their husband more than God. But do you love God more than anything else? That's the most important thing. You've got to put him more than your wife, more than your husband, more than anything else. Remember, John Calvin said, well, one thing that he really hates is when somebody comes and disturbs him when he is studying the Word of God. Because that's the holy moment that you're spending with God. The natural man gives his heart to the world, the worldly riches, worldly pleasures, the worldly honors. Their hearts are affected towards the world, not to heaven. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2:15 says here, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See that? Very clear. If anybody loves this world or the things in the world, you don't have God's love. Then he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. Lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? The lust of the flesh is the whole corrupt nature of man. That is lust of the flesh. The whole corrupt nature of man is the lust of the flesh. This is the fallen man's nature because he is a worldly man. They are seeking, the fallen man is seeking to gratify the flesh. It is more important for him, his body, than the soul. That's why people, you know, take care of their body. They spend so much money for their body, but they don't take care of their soul. What is the lust of the eyes? The lust of the eyes means that a person who has an eager appetite for material things. You have a greedy appetite for material things. When you look something, oh, I want to buy that. Your eyes are shining to get that thing. I got my credit card now. Or the lust of the eyes also can be for immoral sex. Isn't that rampant today? For immoral sex. The fallen man's eyes are always looking for those things that are beautiful. Look at the splendor and the glory. Isn't that what the devil showed? That's lust of the eyes. Jesus said, if your eyes sin, what did he say? Take it out. Gouge it out. It is better for you to enter. take it out. That's how sinful it is. It is better to cut your hand off if your hand is sinning, because it is so dangerous. The members are evil, our members, that's the body. Then the pride of life. What is the pride of life? Pride of life is ambition. Ambition, self-love. I love myself. I don't care about the other person. Selfishness, boasting, self-confidence, putting everybody down. That is really pride. Look how good I am. I am smart, huh? So that's pride. These are from the flesh. This is the fallen man's nature. But the true Christian, he loves God. When you turn your thoughts and affections away from God, what happens is, when you turn your thoughts and affections away from God, then you are occupied in the worldly things. We cannot love God if you turn your affections and your love away from God, then you cannot. That's why we need to be constantly in the Word of God. Constantly. Because this whole world is tempting you in every direction. John Calvin said, it would be like pouring water. That means if you are loving God, at the same time your affections goes away from God, then you cannot love God. And John Calvin said, it would be like pouring water on a ball. Take a ball and pour water. You cannot gather not even a drop, because there is no empty place to retain that water. The love of the world is very severely condemned in the Bible. So we have to take it very seriously. When you say loving the world, it means all the corruptions of every kind in the world. It means even having companionship with unbelieving worldly people. Because listening to their corrupt conversation, their company, enjoying their company, fallen man loves to do that. Because you're not talking, you're talking all sinful things. And you cannot enjoy that. Of course, we need to be with them, with the sinners, and we need to be a light, not having equally yoke. Light means we need to preach the gospel. We need to tell them God. Fallen man loves the pleasures of the world that they can give, that can be given. Delightful things of the world, the enticing attractions, the pleasures, the temptations of the world, the worldly honors. But Christians, we as Christians, we are pilgrims on this earth. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We need to live a humble life. The fallen man lives a prideful life. The Christian lives a humble life. The fallen man has a lot of ambition in this world, but the Christian, he looks to heaven. That's where our house is. That's where our home is. And fallen man loves to boast, but the Christian, no. He gives all the glory to God. James said in James chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Very clear again. So there are two kingdoms, and you cannot serve both. impossible. If you listen to the news today, you will see there's a lot of hatred, firing, quarreling, wars. Why? Fallen man. Even some people's prayers, God doesn't hear because their prayers are very fleshly prayers. And James is very clear, the worldliness is an enemy towards God. Now God demands that we should worship Him only. All the sins that men commit, listen to this very carefully, all the sins that men commit, Jonathan Edwards says this, all the sins that men commit is what they do in the service of their idols. That goes along with idolatry, is departing from the living God. That means any sin what you do, you're doing in the name of idolatry. If you think about it, that's where it goes. Because you had departed from the living God. Think of any sin, they're all done in the name of idolatry. God is against idolatry. He hates them. You know, for the fallen man, sometimes wickedness is very sweet to him. I think Job said that. Wickedness is very sweet to the sinful man. It would be extremely painful for give their lovers away what they love to save their souls. I mean, they will not give their lovers away rather than to give their souls to the Lord. They love their idolatry, but God is not going to approve it. Just like how those elders came to Ezekiel. And God is not going to, He exceedingly hates them, and He is not going to reconcile two kingdoms, the Satan kingdoms and God's kingdom, and He's not going to approve it, and He's not going to reconcile what God hates. He exceedingly hates them. He declares God is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And he is jealous for His own honor. God demands that we should worship and serve Him only. And give our hearts totally to Him. Not to another. He will not allow them to love their idols. Only to a certain degree you can love their idols. Maybe it's worldliness or materialism, money, no. God wants those idols to be cast away totally. Just like what we read in the book of Acts. They burn their idols. Totally. There has to be a final departing from those idols. Cast them forever. God is not going to tolerate any love. He had threatened everlasting punishment for those who disobey the word of God. The natural man has departed from the living God, but he has chosen to serve idols. But God is going to punish them. The wages of sin is death. God is not going to accept your sacrifices. No. He's not going to accept any sacrifices because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. God is not going to accept any money you can offer. He's not going to accept your tears. No, you can cry for the rest of your life. He's not going to accept. What God wants is obedience to the word of God. The only way what God is going to accept is true repentance, and God is going to forgive you. True repentance is, God, I deserve death. I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve hell because I have sinned against you. And I have sinned against you. I deserve to be punished. But God Almighty, that is truly repenting, falling down at your feet, and truly, from your heart, you are truly repenting. Then the Bible says God is going to forgive you and He's going to forget your past. That's the good news. And God is going to give you a thirst and a hunger to read the Word of God. And God is going to direct you and guide you. And like living water, He is going to fill you with the Spirit so you can follow Him. Let's pray.